to save Gotham. I failed.
Why do we force? So that we can learn to pick ourselves up.
You still haven't given up on me.
Never.
His team got knocked down on Sunday, but we didn't get knocked out.
Can they get off the mat for Thursday night against Buffalo? We'll let you know right here on the New York Jets Couch Scouts.
MYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household is rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Welcome, everybody, to the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli. Here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Sombering first post-game podcast for us here is season two, coming off a loss.
Is this the Fitzpatrick we know?
Listen, let's get there. We're coming off a game that both of us expected to be a check in the win column right now. And it sets us back not only for our expectations, but for a longer picture of an AFC playoff picture. It was a tough, tough loss because of the way you lost and who you lost to looking down the road.
Oh, very tough, especially the way that we came out blazing. I thought that we looked great early in the game. 9/11 game, big flag on the field, Obama speaking, Bush
beautiful.
Speaking.
Beautiful.
There's a
out
lot
there.
Of stuff going on right before the game. I'm pretty sure the team was hype and ready to play the Bengals. And then it all turns around.
Where for you did it turn around?
Well, it turned around with Folk obviously missing some kicks, but then I just think the secondary was weak all day.
Yeah, I think that AJ Green deep ball kind of punched everybody in the gut a little bit.
And everybody wants to attack Revis on that.
Gilchrist left him out to dry.
Yes, let's just say the secondary as a whole was just didn't know what they were doing, it seemed like. I think we saw Pryor mess up on a couple plays. It just wasn't.
Surprising for me that you're able to go this route and you're not wrong after week one, because this is a unit outside of Crow, but you really look at how much Marcus Williams played last year. So these are the same guys we got coming back, and they looked somewhat out of sync. Now, remember, they get paid too on the other side. Both scheme-wise and execution-wise, this team got comfortable around the second quarter, midway through, and started throwing some stuff at us.
I would have to say I don't know how comfortable they got, because Andy Dalton wasn't comfortable the whole entire game. He obviously was getting throws in, and they were catching. He's got one of the best receivers in the league.
But we
they
got one
did
of the
not.
Best
our
D-line,
we have the best D-line in the league. I don't care what anybody says. The best, even without Sheldon on that line.
That's exactly where I was going right now.
McClendon?
That, oof. I'm sitting up top, and I'm like, man, Buster is going to bring it on Stevie Mack this game of his life.
He only had two sacks, but he was—
What?
He treated those offensive linemen like rag dolls the whole entire game.
You know who he reminded me of as I'm watching it? Haloti Ngata, when he was in his prime, throwing people around. Will Fork, of course, you can go that route too, but Haloti was more of a penetrator to me, and I couldn't believe what he was doing to the interior of the Bengals.
Swimming his around those offensive linemen, man.
Leo, unblockable.
Really the
on
big
Sunday.
Cat.
Mo was Mo, steady up front. The thing I didn't like is you kind of did see, and I was surprised with the snap count that Henderson got. I was surprised with how much a Darren Lee played, but you did see the cutback available there, and you saw us get gashed a little bit early on, and the Hill touchdown run to me was, that's what we're supposed to look like when we were pounding the rock. That's not supposed to happen when you think we're the defense we are.
There were 57 snaps on defense. Darren Lee had 36 of them. Aaron Henderson only had 21 of them. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, I just said I was very surprised by that because to me, and that again could feed into just the way the Bengals attacked us and what packages we had on the field. But to me, you're looking at Henderson as your quote-unquote starter, and I really looked at Lee like a very scheme-specific package player. And when we're trying to get a little funky in scheme or we're in our third and eight packages is when you're looking at him. I really didn't think he would get the type of burn early on that he got. So when I say the cutback was there, the backside didn't hold up the way maybe they should have been, where can I pinpoint that other than that rotating other inside linebacker spot next to Harris?
My thing was that we didn't see a lot of Maldon either. He only had...
Maldon started the game off big.
23 snaps.
Maldon started the game off big with the sack.
Yeah, he had a sack. That definitely started rocking, off. Man. But then we didn't put him in. I don't know. We were running more of a 4-3. It was a lot of... Defensive linemen dominated the game.
Yeah, but then what's wrong with the old adage of you win in the trenches? Because if that's the case, you look at the push we got outside of being on the goal line. On the inch line after Fitz ran the draw. But you look at the push we got at times up front offensively and how we dominated the game up front defensively. How do you lose this football game? Folk leaving points on the field, you know as soon as it happens, every time it happens, that's going to come back to bite us. And it did. But
I don't blame the game on Folk. Yes, Folk missed two crucial kicks that ended up not us having the points and us losing by a little bit. But I think the secondary was the big reason.
Let me ask you something about Folk before you get into the secondary again. How much weight do you put into new placeholder? And you look at a guy in Lachlan Edwards that he probably has been taught this over the last year exclusively, but before that, how much experience? None.
We talked about this before recording and I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Why not have a Petty or a Gino back there? Guy who's probably done it before.
Well, you're looking. I hear you there. I get what you're saying, but Gino, you ain't putting back there as your backup quarterback, and Petty's still hurt right now. And even when he's not, I still see him inactive. So you can't really practice with somebody like that you don't know suiting up on game day.
So the punter's got to be it though.
You know your punter is, but the inexperience that he has in that facet of the game and how every part of the machine of a field goal kick getting off successful, every part has to be firing together. The littlest slip in snap, in hold, in a false step throws the whole thing off. How much of it is that? How much of it is them still getting comfortable?
I definitely think it has a little bit to do with that. It's the first game together, obviously. I can't say that the placement wasn't perfect. Obviously, there was wind there. You were there. I wasn't there this game.
It wasn't bad in there. I know you guys said it really took a hard turn on folks. Extra point, I believe.
Especially on TV, it looked like that.
Yeah, but I didn't feel it was anything that was really altering the game on the field at all. And on the field goal block, Doja got blown up over the left side. And that's where your penetration came from, and that's where your block came from. So that's not the hold there. But again, you could also fall back on 22-yard field goal. You should be able to be kicking that however you want to. So why is that anywhere near being blocked? Chip that up and over. So it's just there's a lot of moving parts there for what I'm trying to make this argument. But you can't leave 4 points on the field against a playoff caliber team. You will lose every time.
Of course, totally. Before we go back to the secondary that I want to talk about, I want to talk about Lachlan Edwards. What a great punting day for him.
Could be a weapon. Oh, really my could goodness. Wind up being a weapon.
He's impressed me so much so far, and I'm very happy that we have a punter that we don't have to be scared about being, you know, kicked outside only 20-yard punts. He's actually kicking the heck out of the rock.
I think not only is his performance making you feel that way, but the ineptitude of that position for so long is making you really appreciate
what
Edwards is bringing to the table right now.
Exactly. But getting back to the secondary.
Go ahead.
Other than Marcus Williams' interception, which was very nice, by the way.
Played that ball beautifully.
Yep, definitely. And, you know, we were talking crap about him all preseason, how he had a horrible preseason. He had cuttable games.
He had a rough summer. Yeah, yes, he did.
He had a rough. And the first game, he comes out with an interception. Last year, he led the team in interceptions. So that's
but you cannot give up that deep ball on 3rd and 18.
Exactly.
You can't give up that. Nobody gets ball. The sticks are 20 yards away. 20 yards away. It can't happen. You can't have 10 guys on the field. That's Rex Ryan. That's what we roasted him for. It can't happen because then you don't got timeouts when you need timeouts. And when Brandon Marshall drops a ball, which for as talented and as great a ball player Brandon Marshall is, we now over a year, last year in New England, you see him once a game, he's good for one that you feel he should have had. Unfortunately, it was in one of the bigger spots of the game. But not having timeouts in that 56-second drill that we were about to have to run alters everything in that aspect. Game management was lackluster, to say best, on the coaching end of this game as well.
Yeah, if you want to talk about the coaching, I think the Chan Gailey, I think that there's too many plays that we start with the ball behind the line of scrimmage and we lose yardage.
You mean in terms of bubble screens?
Screens, okay. And halfback handoffs or whatever they were that we were doing with Anua. You know, I don't know you bring that to the first game. I don't think you want to let the rest of the league see what your specialties are or your special plays are in the first game of the season. I think you bring that week 8 when no one knows you do that and you take everybody by surprise. Now teams are looking like, hey, the Jets do this kind of thing, so we have to look out for it. Come on, Chan. Bring this later in the season. Don't bring this week 1.
They may not feel that is anything special. That may become a little bit of a staple in this offense and something for they might have wanted to put that on film week 1 because now that's something a defense has to account for throughout the week. When you see 81 go in motion, they want to get this guy the ball. Make sure you're ready for the little drop pass, the little pop handoff, because now if a defense has to spend 2 reps on that and 1 minute on that in practice, it took away from something else.
We heard
that with Tebow. How much?
I just hope that those plays are successful this year, because then they'd be a waste of time.
Well, all I'm telling you is Quincy brought the pain to start that game.
He's a beast.
He dropped his shoulder nice on that.
And let me say, out of all the wide receivers, he had the best game. No question, in my opinion.
I felt Fitz missed Decker a little bit. I really did. I thought Decker had a couple plays where when you're sitting up top and you see it develop a little more. And of course, you don't know the progressions, you don't know the situation, yada yada yada. But Fitz missed Decker on a couple of balls. And then I felt, again, as we talked about, Fitz predetermined a couple throws in this game that why are you making it?
Is this what I was talking about in the offseason? Are we paying this man to throw the ball behind football players to throw an interception in the fourth quarter with 56 seconds when the game is winnable?
What I was talking about all offseason
was a player like Fitzpatrick losing games in the fourth quarter. Not saying he lost this game, but he had a chance to win it, and he didn't.
What did that play remind you of, that last interception? To me, Buffalo last year. It's exactly what that interception reminded me of. When they have an opportunity, albeit slim, but he just throws it away to the sidelines.
I'd rather see fourth down not converted. We're off the field, game over.
Of course, you get another stab at it. I hear you.
Well, not even another stab. If that's the end of the game, fourth down, I'm cool with that. I don't want to see Fitzpatrick trying to throw darts in and throw interceptions in the last minute of the game when we're trying to win the game.
Second half, he was legitimately terrible. But again, same way I'm not willing to say coaching solely lost the game. I don't think Fitz solely lost the game. I don't think the defensive backfield solely lost the game. I think it was a little bit of a nasty concoction of all three. I really do. And you throw special teams in. You talk about the 4 points left on the field. The last thing I want to say about Fitz, though, he's going to get somebody killed. Being late, low, and behind across the middle. Or even up the seam, if you want to call it that. Because we could say Marshall should have had it, but that was a bad ball.
There was a bunch of bad balls.
The potential touchdown ball to Marshall early on, which for all the fans sitting around us that are yelling for a flag, that's football. That may not be the modern-day NFL that we now know, but that's football, baby. Come on. I know we wanted it. It would have been first and goal at the one. But if that table's turned and that's Calvin laying the boom, we don't want that flag coming out. That's football. Just keep that beauty of the game.
19 for 35, 189 yards, two touchdowns, an interception, a rating of 77. That's not the worst. 54%
completion, right?
It's not bad.
That is bad.
No, that's not horrible.
What?
That's not horrible.
What?
Not horrible.
Please.
Especially in the league. Explain. Especially in the league that we're in now, where we're a throwing league. That's what we are, and we're a throwing team. Because obviously we got Matt Forte, who was running the rock pretty well, running at about 4.4 yards a carry, only had 22 carries, and Bilal Powell only got the ball four times behind the line of scrimmage. In my head, that's surprising, especially when we saw him run the ball, because he was four carries for 41 yards. He had 10 yards a carry.
Egregious that he didn't play, an egregious error to me, but I got a little, conspiracy theory to why Bilal Powell's
playing
time and touches were what they were. And I read it on Twitter. And if whoever put it up there is out there listening to the Couch Scouts, I hope you are. Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, however you need to get it.
At NYJ Couch Scouts.
Is it possible that he's going to be looked at now as the feature back for this Thursday night in Buffalo? And you know you have an older running back in Forte coming off a preseason where he really didn't get a lot of work in. So that's good for energy in the tank right now, but bad for in terms of being in football shape. The touches Forte got, both catches and carries, running back position takes a beating. Will Bilal Powell be the feature back this week, and that's why he was limited in week one?
That's a great conspiracy theory, just because in the fact that that would mean that Bulls had to plan two games in week before week one, saying, okay, we're going to run with Forte here, and we have a short week. So we got to get a running back recovered by Thursday night.
Bowles or Gailey?
Either one. Let's just say the coaching staff in general.
Okay.
Coaching staff in general. We have a short week. So Bilal Powell couldn't get beat up like Forte did because he needs a recovery. He needs some recovery days. So, yeah, that's a great conspiracy to say that Bilal needs to be there ready for Thursday.
If that is the case, and what you're saying, and Gailey and or Bowles, you know, is planning for two games, you can't do that in a league where you only got 16.
You cannot.
And you can't look ahead.
And that's my, if that's true to be what we're saying, that could be a reason why our coaching was a little slack on this past Sunday game.
Okay, and I know Tom Brady's out, and people like my father out there really think that team was going to go 2-2, 1-3. I said 3-1, and the one was the game that they were losing in Arizona Sunday night. How'd that work out? This team might go 4-0.
Any other team in the NFL, if they have injuries and issues like the Patriots do, they lose.
It's the continuity and the consistency that everybody else is trying to build and we strive for over here.
It boggles my mind, the continuity. There's different players all over the field there. And they all look like nothing happened.
Brady and Belichick, they got them on the sideline.
It looks like
it's a game changer.
Roger Goodell hasn't been in New England all offseason.
Well, neither here nor there. That's enough with talking with them. Bottom line is, for people thinking you were taking advantage of that, I can understand how you want to look forward to Buffalo, but you can't realistically look at it like you're winning the division. We're still not there. Unfortunate, we're not. So when you're talking wild card, please, when you're talking wild card, this could be a huge game. You just watched Big Ben and AB toy with people on an NFL field.
I was just going to go there. I was just going to say how important the Bengals game might have been, because when the wild card comes down to it, the Bengals are going to be right there with us.
And wind up 10-6 with them without a third team head to head. They now have it. It's week one, September 11th, and they now have it.
If we had to lose to anybody, NFC game, any of those games, games away from us, games on the West, we cannot lose to games that we know that the Bengals are going to be right there in second or first place for the wild card. We know that they're an important game. Well, but
that's the NFL in a nutshell, though. And it's why 16 is that important. It really is. Getting back into the game before we can shift our focus here and get to Buffalo. The outside linebacker spot scare you at all? It's really the only spot we didn't go. David Harris to me didn't stand out, but there's games where David Harris isn't going to stand out, and we talked about the bubble screens.
Quiet Assassin.
Is there anywhere else you wanted to go?
I think that was our issue right there, secondary with the bubble screens.
No, you want to know what my issue is? The Darrell Revis chatter.
Yeah.
And I got to get on it again. This man is still a top corner. What we saw in 09 was legendary. It was at this point 7 years ago, if you want to be specific, six seasons, whatever. The Father Time's undefeated. Everybody says it. The guy's a different player now, but he's still a supremium talent on the outside. He's upper echelon in this league. You just got to treat him like a human being now.
I totally agree. I hate the chatter that he's lost a step and he's declining tremendously. No, he's not. And if you watch the game, you can tell that the secondary didn't have his back this week, and he couldn't support one of the best wide receivers in the game.
Hands down, that one-handed catch he made going up the left sideline was unreal.
Revis has only had three of these games in his career. Three times has he had a game where he's given up over 120 yards, I think it is.
I'm definitely going the Hopkins game last year. I'm going the A.J. Green game this year.
And the Randy Moss game.
Oh, okay. I wasn't going to go there. You know where I was going? Stevie Johnson.
Well, it wasn't even the Hopkins game last year, because I think that was 117. But I think over the 120 is Wes Welker 1 year. So twice the Patriots has gotten him. And this would be the third game.
I just wanted to get that off my chest again, because what we're hearing out there is a fan base, and it's really something else to me. Fire Mac, what he should have did, what was avoided, Bowles was outcoached, he was overrated to begin with. It's week one.
We lost by 1 point.
Let the cake bake.
We're firing the GM already? Are you guys kidding me?
Listen, man.
What did the Steelers do? I'm sorry for bringing them up. Well, what did they do? They keep personnel, they keep players in the organization for a long time.
Yes, but the problem
is
because they hit when they swing, they can do that. How many hacks have we taken at GM and head coach? Bradway, Edwards, Tannenbaum, Rex, Idzik. I mean, come on. We keep hitting the restart button. You're not going to get a finished product coming out of the gate. It's not going to happen. Stick with it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We are a year ahead of the learning curve and growth curve that we should be on right now.
Who's ever saying firing personnel, get rid of players?
Listen,
those people are spoiled because last year a rookie head coach went 10-6. If we went 8-8, no one would be saying that.
Like we should have.
Exactly.
And then if you go 9-7 this year, you took a step up and you're growing.
Like
now we're not in that spot.
Like it should happen. The first 2 years are probably a chalk up. We're trying to get a team together. But we're impressive, and we have a lot of talent on this team. So be quiet. We lost by a point. We're going to be okay. We're not firing anybody.
Listen, the losing by a point, I won't get on with you. Because you lose. Especially a game that you had in hand and should have, could have put out of hand very early.
Well, it's not like we're like the LA Rams last night who didn't score a point.
I hear you. And that's where you got to go. But getting into the offensive side of the ball quickly with not scoring a point, you cannot get down to the one-inch line and get blown up. You can't get into the red zone and abandon the run. And if you're gonna, you better execute. It didn't look. I know everybody out there, talking heads and names that people respect, say the first couple weeks is still the preseason. And I really want to buy that for how off Fitz and his main guys looked. You brought it up pre-show with Jaylen Marshall. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Marshall, even though he didn't catch the ball, it was very important. And I'm surprised that he touched the field. I'm surprised he even touched the field. I thought Robbie Anderson we would see a little bit more of. But I think that him and Fitz have a little bit more camaraderie. But even him not touching the ball, him throwing his body out there, he's going to be a good wide receiver in this league. And two penalties from those throwing
Bang.
His body out.
There it is. That's what I wanted you to bring up, because that's what you said that I liked. And the pass interference on the goal line – leading into what you're saying with his comfort level with him, that was the best ball I felt Fitz threw all day. I wish that could have finished and that route would have culminated, because I'm telling you, that was six.
You can tell how freakish Jalen Marshall is. Those kick returns, him not getting on the ground, pushing people off of him, he looks super impressive.
He's an undrafted free agent with a chip on his shoulder and a lot of talent.
Man, he likes to throw his body in the way, and that's what's going to get you a good long way in this league. Him throwing his body out there, getting a penalty for us, that helps.
How'd you feel about the fullback position being pretty much eliminated from our offense, and it was the first time we got a taste of it?
Like the tight end position, nowhere to be found, which is no problem to me.
We were dying for a tight end in that game right around the third quarter.
Yep.
We don't have anybody working the middle, big to the point of buttoning up in between two linebackers, taking it and settling down for seven. We need to do something about this position in the near future. And I say near future, I'm really talking off season, because you're not bringing in anybody.
Another one?
In reality, you're not bringing in anybody that's making a big time difference on the 2016 team.
I do want to mention how great the offensive line looked. Again, only giving up one sack.
I won't use the word great. I won't.
I would, especially on
Fitz
pass
was under
coverage.
Pressure,
and
had to get out of it. He was under pressure. So you look at the one sack, the stat line's not going to tell the whole story.
Oh, of course not. But again, one sack is one sack.
I'll buy that.
Bengals gave up seven. You know, teams give up five. We gave up one. Last year, we were the best in the league. We're giving up sacks. We didn't. What'd you think
about the right tackle?
Exactly. Yeah, they split carries. And they did a good job. For not having to play the whole game, they both did a good job to me. Because they knew they weren't going to stay in the whole game. They both knew that they were going to split these carries.
I very much so dislike a rotation at right tackle.
Me too. During the game, I don't like that either. But they impressed by... They did it. They rotated that tackle, and they still played well enough.
Well, you've had 5.5, 6 weeks. If neither one of them have distinguished themselves as the clear-cut winner, that's your problem. There's no way one of them have not taken the bull by the horns by now. And if it is the case, that's your problem. I like to see them go with Kwale because I feel they know what Aijalan is. If Aijalan is the better guy, go with him. An offensive line needs cohesion, needs to gel. You're already potentially looking at Breno having to step back in. Let's take one step toward the continuity up front that's needed.
Aijalan had 39 of the 71, and Kwale had 32. It was very close to half.
You can't really say, they were only... That was maybe one drive different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one drive, more players.
Pick one. Go with it. Be confident about it. It's why you're paid as a coaching staff. Pick one and move on. Put the other guy in your swing tackle position, possibly a big tight end role, and we could get Kellen Davis off the field. Because as we talk about how much we need a tight end, can we bring up how much burn Kellen Davis got? This guy has no shot of being released. And trust me, I hope I'm wrong. We have a roster exemption. We're due today, 4 p.m. It's got to be in by to activate Sheldon for week two. And we had somebody reach out on Twitter saying it should be Kellen. I feel most of us feel it could be Kellen. It's not.
It's not.
The money they paid and the fact that he was on this roster week one as a vested veteran, he's going to be here all year. And I just feel like they're forcing me to eat my vegetables. That's exactly how I feel.
So who do you think is getting tossed for Sheldon this week?
It's a tough call. I know you feel it is the tight end position,
Braden Bowman, I think he's the one. He's the odd man out.
I think they want somebody to work with. They didn't bring back a Saxton, so I don't see it being Bowman. I kind of feel, even with the offense at 26 and the defense at 24 right now, I feel it's coming from the defensive side. And I got to lean toward our waiver claim on that side, Darryl Roberts, the corner from New England. I don't believe he's healthy as of yet. He brought in, I would have to think they expected him to be healthy by now.
Do we take away a player from the secondary that was just very weak this past week?
That's exactly what I was just going to say, and I know you're worried about the secondary, but you got to rob Peter somewhere to pay Paul. And if you're willing to expose Lawrence Thomas after the unreal debut as an undrafted free agent. Yeah.
Special teams, baby.
You willing to expose him right now? No.
No.
The answer's no. Don't even think about it. The answer's no.
No. By the way, did you know Lawrence Thomas played some fullback in college?
No, I did not know that.
Four?
What do you mean? Cop Michigan State? Get out of here. What are you talking
about? Yeah, who did he play fullback for? Who was the fullback?
It's not Le'Veon Bell, is it?
Le'Veon Bell, baby.
What'd he do it as a freshman then?
Hey, man.
Bell's been in the league a while now.
That's why he was so quick on that special teams play.
Bro,
baby.
He blew Pac-Man up.
Woo!
Blew Pac-Man up, was in the backfield consistently. I believe he had a couple tackles for a loss and got legitimate burn. I was expecting Jarvis Jenkins to really get the majority of those swing defensive lineman snaps, and he got his.
Who didn't play that horrible either.
No, absolutely not. And he got his, but Lawrence Thomas played much more than I thought. I think the fact that you've seen him out there on special teams says a lot for his stability with his roster spot right now. And how about Antonio Allen? First special teams tackle of the year.
Loved
it. Touchback initially. We score. He comes down, wraps him up. He's out there on all core teams, on the team for 4 days.
Hey.
I loved it. Seeing 39 out there running around
again.
It
was great. It was great.
All right. Let's get into this. Anything else? I'm kind of moving into Buffalo here, and I didn't really dub.
No, I'm ready to move on.
We're good.
Move on to the next game, baby.
A loss you can't have. Bowles has some stepping up to do. The offense has a lot of stepping up to do. And the defense, when you got a lead with a couple minutes to go, let's not pull a face mask. Let's not let them bubble screen their way down the field for Mike Nugent, former Jets second-round pick, to beat us, please. That's all I ask.
We're thinking about Buffalo this week.
It's not much. It's really all I ask.
Cincinnati's out of my head.
All right, so let's get into it here. Buffalo's beat up. It's a game where, as our producer would say, this is the growth of year one to year two that needs to be proven. We let off with a little boxing analogy. We're not knocked out. We're knocked down. Well, how do we get off the mat? Just like you said, because that's the testament of a true fighter. And I want to see the fight that this team has this Thursday night against Rex in Buffalo. Little revenge on the tip of the tongue.
For me, starting with the offense, okay, Fitzpatrick needs to be on his game. Needs to be on his game. No more mistakes. No more throwing the ball behind receivers, looking at Eric Decker, because Eric Decker was open a couple times.
But as you say, does Rex have his number? Yes, that's been proven. Fitz going back to Buffalo, which seemed to be in his head last year. It's a tough situation for him to get as comfortable as you're saying he needs to get in.
I think that it's early in the season and he can get comfortable. I think that Rex and the Buffalo Bills are very, very beat up.
Vulnerable
very beat
right
up.
Now.
And
vulnerable
yes, right exactly. Now. Perfect word for that. And I think Fitzpatrick, this is a perfect opportunity for him to come back. And he didn't get beat up a lot on Sunday. So this is he should be physically great, and he should come out and be slinging the ball in perfect ways. Another
perfect
thing I want to say
with Brandon Marshall
you.
And Eric Decker, yeah, that's what we're all.
Well, Quincy Anua, I think Quincy's going to have a big game.
Q's going to get his man, but he looked so off with his top two boys. Go ahead.
But I just want to see Bilal Powell come right at Rex, his old player. I want to see a lot of Bilal Powell this game.
I hear you, and again, I talked about how much I really sat back and thought about what that guy put out there, and that being his idea, and. I want to say I could see it, but I think what you saw out of Forte, you really couldn't ask for more. There were a couple spots where it was like, if he was 24, 25 again, I'd love to see what he does with this space. And he picked up 12, 15 on a screen or on a nice cut. But he had some open field at times that was just had me salivating up top.
We're
going
to have to get used to that.
Gear.
We're
going
to have to get
I know.
Used to that.
I know.
He can catch the heck out of that rock,
that
though, man.
For a while. Absolutely. And I really think you saw the role that he is going to have. I don't know how much they're going to diminish that for week two. I need them to keep him fresher, though, because it is criminal for Bilal Powell to touch the ball 6-8 times in a football game. What did you pay him the money you paid him for to do that?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? He had one big run, knocked the heck out of their safety. It was
I got a flex.
Unbelievable.
Flexing on him.
But another thing I want to talk about this game, I want the right tackle position to be one player this game.
That's what I was just talking about, absolutely.
I don't want a rotation this game. It's a short week. There should be one right tackle in there the whole game.
Something I kind of heard Decker say that I was surprised is, if you got to play a Thursday night game, you want it to be the first one, get it out of the way. But another quote that I thought was good was from Damian Woody, and he is dynamite on Twitter. But he said the best medicine for the Jets right now is a quick turnaround against division rival and foe Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. Best thing that could happen to this team after the week one loss. And it was something that I wanted to throw out there and see if you were willing to pick up and really, really agree with.
Totally. If we beat Rex Ryan Thursday night, first primetime game, big, we're going to be primetime, baby. We're a primetime team this year. If we beat Rex Ryan, our old coach, on Thursday night, I think that's momentum for the next week. That's big time.
I hope so, because my feeling about this Thursday night is if the God forbid opposite of what you just said happens and you come away with an L, your season is literally teetering on over in week two. And that sounds, oh, come on. How can you say that? You lost a big division game against a team you can't get over the hump in that case. And you lost a big wild card decision type game to Cincy in week one. And they're both games we felt you were coming away with a win.
And I think that if you win this game, that sets up perfectly. And we both have us losing in Kansas City in week three.
So maybe you sneak one out, you're saying?
I think you sneak one out if we're on a high horse after a win in Buffalo.
I like where you went with that. Justin Houston going to be still missing. They're claiming out till November now. And is Jamal Charles even back by then, even though Ware's going off?
Whatever.
And they got West. Let's get back to Buffalo, though.
It's week one.
Let's talk about Sammy's injury. How do you feel about that? I think he'll be out there. I truly do.
He shouldn't be.
He's going to play. I agree. But Buffalo's setting him up to be the bad guy. And I think it's a bad move with a young guy that you still need to get to stay in town, saying it's going to come down to a pain threshold for him and how much he can handle.
I don't want to
put that on the kid.
I don't want to talk about Buffalo, but yeah, they should not be playing him. But he's going to play. I think he's going to play. And I think it's going to be easy work for Revis, especially an injured player.
Stop. I think it's going to be easy work. I was just about to say, of course he's going to play. He looked at AJ Green's film from week one and said, I'm not missing that game.
And I think Todd Bowles today and yesterday was in the film room with the secondary saying, this is what we have to do for this week.
How do you feel about Bowles' attitude over the last 24, 36 hours with the media?
Pissed.
And won't talk about the game. He's on to Buffalo. Apparently his mantra and his fallback for it is, we got to play on Thursday night. It's a quick turnaround. I got to focus that quick. I don't have the normal attention to last week's game that I would in any other regular week.
I don't only think that he's pissed at his personal position at the secondary. I think he's pissed at the offense and not completing third downs. I think that and red zone touchdowns, which we were almost, last year?
You cannot do that this week on the road in Buffalo. You can't do it. You let that team hang around, and you're going to let Tyrod make a play or two getting outside the pocket. That's going to sting much more than it should. And it could be the difference in the game, in my opinion. You need to capitalize when you get down deep inside the red zone. Three is not an option. Seven.
Every time. And we were, what, one last year in that? We were top team in the league in the red zone last year. This is something that we're not used to now with a Todd Bowles team. We need to finish when we get in that red zone.
And we brought back the people that played big-time ball for us last year, kind of outside of Ivory and Snacks, as we've brought up multiple times. We brought back our team. So that we brought back the same scheme, same systems. So we're supposed to be taking steps. Let's start to see that in certain facets of a football game. We need Bowles to take the same steps that we expect from our ball players, though. We truly do. Because there was a lot week one for people to shine light on. And I need that to get tightened up as we get deeper and deeper in the year. We talked about a guy like Steve Young saying the first 3-4 weeks of the year now is still the extended preseason. I hope it's not the case here, because we need to capitalize now and play big time ball now, because this is the part of the schedule that everyone's fearing.
I think that that the offense, they just have to show us something. The defensive side, though, I think the D-line is going to, again, contain quarterback, running back.
Yeah, Cordy Glenn's hurt for them as well, their left tackle. It's another game, and Sheldon coming back.
But you got McCoy, and if they can't run up the middle, which they can't because the D-line is just too serious, they're going to have to do screens. They're going to have to screen the ball to him. And him in open space is scary. And last week,
it is.
We did not look impressive against the screen. So this week, these next couple days in the film room, that's what should be the talk.
Too many missed tackles last week.
Exactly.
And you do that this week, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. It really is.
We cannot look crappy against the screen 2 weeks in a row.
We can. Let's hope we don't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Thank you. I look at a team like Buffalo and the upheaval they've had, the suspensions, the guys coming in, out. You got to take advantage of them now. And it's not because I fear them. It's just because you got to put your foot down when you can put your foot down. I thought we were going to win that game week one by 2 scores. I said it on here. We're driving down, about to go up 2 scores in the first quarter, and I'm smiling. We didn't take care of business. Handle your business in a division game right here, right now, this Thursday.
This would be so crucial of a loss if we lost this game. One to a conference rival in the Bengals and one to a division rival in the Bills. We cannot let this happen. If we think that we're going 10-6 and trying to make the playoffs, trying to make the wild card at 10-6, we cannot lose these two games.
As we brought up, I am 100% behind you. What's your prediction for this game before we wrap up here?
I was just thinking about that. I would have to say 17-10 Jets.
17-10. I'm going 27-23.
Wow, you're a shootout, huh?
Not really a shootout, just Thursday night, prime time.
A lot of scoring.
I'm going 27-23 Jets.
I would hope it's that one. I don't want to see a 17-10 game, but that's what I think it's going to be. I would love to see over 20 points.
I'll take 3-0. I'll take 6-3. Get the W in the books. It's going to go a long way towards showing what we are and how much we have grown from last year. We got to put this Buffalo thing to bed. It's been 2-3 years since we beat this team, and they're not that type of team.
We want to show the high-powered offense that we have, and we want to show the lockdown defense that we have. We need to come out and play this week.
Your lips to God's ears. Let's hope one of our outcomes comes to fruition, because we need the dub. As every week, Jet fans, can't do it over here without you guys listening over there. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJCowScouts. Leave us your questions and your comments, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
Big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwenderman. And once again, to you, the fans out there, you keep listening, we'll keep bringing it, baby. Till next week, let's hope it's with a dub in the books. Let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.